WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Category 2 hurricane when it came ashore, Francine is whipping the Gulf Coast of Louisiana. CBS New York weathercaster Lonnie Quinn.
I think it's more likely a 5 to 10-inch range that includes New Orleans. So freshwater flooding and some storm surge, of course, are the biggest concerns with this storm.
In California, the San Bernardino Sheriff's Office arrests the 34-year-old Norco man for allegedly starting the line fire, which has burned almost 35,000 acres and is 14% contained. Detective Jacob Hernandez.
The suspect was booked at West Valley Detention Center for arson. As of this morning, a bail enhancement of a no bail was granted.
Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill speaks out about his traffic stop over the weekend.
I'm not going to mix it too. I'm not going to take a knee. I'm not going to, you know, ask to defund the police. I'm not going to protest. I'm not going to do any of that when it comes to being inside of this.
Hill does say he still wants one of the officers involved dismissed from the force. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette poll is trending for Kamala Harris. She leads Donald Trump by 4 points among likely Wisconsin voters. The race was dead even a month ago. Here's poll director Charles Franklin.
These changes are all inside that margin of error, but having said all of that, other things look like Harris is in a little bit better shape this time than last time.
The poll was taken before last night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the race for U.S. Senate. Governor Evers had to cancel plans to visit a northern Wisconsin high school Tuesday because of a threat. The superintendent in Hurley became concerned about a social media post and canceled school for the rest of the day. Local law enforcement looked into it and determined the threat was not serious. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Game 2 in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a 6-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. Coach Matt LaFleur said they are getting Willis ready for Indianapolis on Sunday.
You got to play to your players' strengths, so it's our job to try to come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful.
It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 80s. Looking into Friday, a few more clouds, highs in the upper 70s. Then a chance of showers from Friday night through the weekend, highs upper 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Pat Kreitlo.
Thursday morning, a familiar voice on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, our friend and congressional candidate, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlo. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations.
Yes, today is our second Wednesday of the month, and don't worry, we'll all get to talk about our fun debate tomorrow with Robert Lilligren and Arvina Martin. But we're always so grateful to partner with the City of Minneapolis to discuss American Indian relations within the city. Here's our friend and guest host, Christine McDonald.
Bonjour, Okadaki, Gabuit, Nindishnaka, Zajijek, Nindindem. Welcome. I am Christine McDonald, the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and I'm the guest host for Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. Joining me today is Amanda Harrington, the Director of Community Safety Design and Implementation at the City of Minneapolis Office of Community Safety. Welcome. And Amanda, can you tell us a little bit about yourself tonight?
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. So I have a very long title, but what it actually means is that I am tasked with building out the community safety ecosystem in the City of Minneapolis. The ecosystem is really just a fancy way of saying a network or collaboration between a number of individuals. So with the city and the county working together and all of us working with community organizations and individual people in our community so that everybody can be safe and feel safe. I just started this job in December, so I haven't been with the city for that long. And before this, I had a career already as a social worker. I worked a lot in Minneapolis public schools, as well as doing therapy with kids. And I was also an attorney at the Hennepin County Attorney's Office doing prosecution and truancy cases. So I've done a lot of things before I came to the city.
Wow. Well, welcome to the City of Minneapolis. I'm excited to have you with us. Can you tell our audience what the South Minneapolis Community Safety Center is?
Yes, that is one of the projects that I'm working on as part of the ecosystem. So it's going to be located at 2633 Minnehaha Avenue. And it's a physical building that's home to safety services related to crime prevention, response, and restoration. We'll have one entrance for people that want to access police services and a separate entrance for people that want to access other social services. The social service side will be open primarily business hours. The police side will be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the idea is that you could walk into this center and access a number of different safety services all at one time, so you don't have to go to different places. When people walk in to the social service side of the center, they'll actually encounter one of our 311 customer service representatives first, so they can get help accessing city services, or they can be connected to some of the other service providers in the building. It's really meant to be a place that's welcoming for everybody in our community.
Thank you. There's also another safety center called the Lake Street Safety Center. Can you tell us about that one?
The Lake Street Safety Center is located at 2228 East Lake Street, and that's a smaller temporary location. The idea is similar in that we'll have services related to prevention, response, and restoration, but it won't have the police presence in the same way. So at that center, we will hopefully be open this November, so it will open a lot sooner. And the hours will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from about 9 to 5, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 to 7. In the beginning, we'll take data to see how people are using that center to see if we have to have different services. At that center, people can come in, and again, they'll be greeted by 311 customer service staff, but they can also have access to crime prevention specialist, a Lake Street safety coordinator, maybe the Lake Street social worker will pop in. We'll have staff from Let Everyone Advance with Dignity in the space, community navigators, a community city attorney. So a lot of different groups working together, and also GMCC, which is one of our opioid prevention providers.
What is GMCC?
GMCC. So it used to be Greater Minneapolis Council of Churches.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
And then people will also drop in. So police might go there to take a break or use the bathroom, as well as behavioral crisis response team. So the folks that respond to mental health crisis interventions. It's not a service where people can walk into the center and talk to one of them or make an appointment, but it keeps them on the south side between appointments, between calls in the community, which is really important.
That is great. How are these centers different from Minnehaha 3000 or the Democracy Center at the old Third Precinct building?
We get asked that question a lot. It's confusing because we're talking about so many buildings at the same time. The community safety centers are really focused on providing safety services. They are meant to be physical spaces where we can offer those services and increase coordination between service providers. Minnehaha 3000 is going to be a democracy center, which means they'll have voter services out of that center. They may also have some community services, which will likely have a relation to safety, but the purpose of that building is not safety anymore. The main purpose is the voter services.
The Democracy Center, that's cool. How did you and your team engage the community this spring?
We had a ton of events in the community this spring. We had over 40 opportunities to interact with people, and we tried to do lots of different tactics to reach people because one strategy doesn't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we had an online survey, of course, but we also had in-person meetings and a virtual meeting. We walked down Lake Street. We walked down Franklin Avenue. We went to food shelves. We went to neighborhood groups. We appeared on cultural radio shows like this. So we used lots of different strategies. And in total, we heard from about 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm. That is a very extensive engagement plan that you had. And I just want to make sure that the community knows that you guys did come out and do an engagement session in our community. And that was at the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe building over the summer. So we appreciate the time that you took to come to our community and hear from us. And talk about hearing from us. What did you hear from the folks when you did your engagement series?
Well, we asked everybody during the interactions to tell us what services they wanted in the Lake Street Safety Center and in the South Minneapolis Community Safety Center. Most people talked about the South Minneapolis Community Safety Center because that's the permanent location where there's going to be services. And obviously, people have lots of different ideas, but we were able to narrow it down to five social services that people really seem to agree on. So folks told us that in the South Minneapolis Community Safety Center, they wanted services related to affordable housing, mental health, substance abuse, unsheltered homelessness, and youth. And then we also asked folks what other resources do they want in the center. And so people said they wanted community meals, a community meeting space, childcare for people using services while they were at the center, legal services, and medical services. We also asked people to tell us what those mean, because when I say mental health, that might mean something different than if you say mental health. So we got some of that information. Quite honestly, there's a lot that we heard from people. And so you can read the full report on our webpage, which people can access by going to minneapolismn.gov/community-safety-centers.
That's great that people can come back. And is there any more opportunity to provide feedback, or right at this point, they're just looking at what other community members have provided?
Well, we got all of the initial feedback, but we promised the community that we'd come back out this fall to tell folks what we heard and to tell them how we used their information. So people should see opportunities from us in the next coming weeks for us to come back out to their neighborhood groups or organizations. Great.
We're going to take a quick break. Thank you.
Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio. Oh.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. Air stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio here to tell you about the best window contractor in Minnesota, 952 Windows. Here's why I trust them in my home projects. 952 Windows is a part of Loyal Home, founded by former window light workers known for their ethics and quality. It's a top-notch remodeling company that's been flying under the radar for too long. They've even sold to competitors' employees who want top-tier quality for their homes. For the best in windows and doors, have 952 Windows take care of your next project. They offer the longest warranties and were rated Energy Star's most efficient in windows and doors. Believe me, I've known the owner for decades, so I can vouch for their excellence. They're not just about windows either. They're your go-to for roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more. Plus, they've got you covered on Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinets. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952 Windows or 952windows.com.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Welcome back. I am Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis and guest host tonight. And joining me is Amanda Harrington, who is the Director of Community Safety Design and Implementation at the City of Minneapolis Office of Community Safety. Before we left, we were talking about some of the engagement work that you did over the summer and went out to the different communities and heard from a bunch of folks. Can't remember the exact number, but you did a lot of work. You and your one other person in your office, you guys covered a lot of space and a lot of people. How is your team using the input that you got from the community?
Yeah, we analyzed the information. And again, the full report is available online. But we took those categories that I just mentioned and we issued requests for information, RFIs we call them, so that community organizations could tell us how could those services actually look, how would it work in the center. And so we got 25 responses for organizations that told us how services might work at that 2633 Minnehaha location. And that is helping us to narrow down what actual services we're going to have in the center for the phase one opening next year.
So what services can people get at the permanent location?
We narrowed it down from that. That was a really long list of services that the community said they wanted in the center. So what we're planning on having when we open are services related to domestic violence, mental health, youth. And then another thing the community said was important was culturally specific community navigators. They wanted folks who look like them, who speak their language and know about resources in the community. So that'll be one of the resources we have in there. And then the other piece actually really goes well with one of the commercials that you had up with services related to human trafficking. We know that's a big issue in our community. And so we're going to be issuing requests for proposals to have those services in the center, and those should be coming out in the next few weeks.
Okay, great. That'll be good. I'll have to look for that so I can pass that along to some of the folks that we know in the community. When will the permanent location open?
I'm hoping that the permanent location will be open the summer of 2025. This is my first time dealing with kind of property and construction, and so I'm constantly learning that the deadlines are not what I expect. But my hope right now is about this time next year.
So when that opens, will the temporary location close?
That's a really good question. It's not going to close exactly when the South Minneapolis Community Safety Center opens. We have a two-year lease on the Lake Street Safety Center, and so there will be some overlap. We were trying to balance the needs of the community by having some immediate activation in that space. Also trying to stay within the budget that we've been provided and be responsible stewards of taxpayer money. So we've got 2 years and that should open November of this year.
So, and then what services are people going to be able to get at the temporary location that's going to be on Lake Street?
Yeah, that one will be a little bit different because like I said, it's a smaller space. So on that one, folks will have access to different services on different days. People will have probably office hours, but we'll have a crime prevention specialist in the center, community navigators who are not maybe what people think. These community navigators are folks who help people who have been victims of crime, so they can really support people after some harm or crime has occurred.
Are we'll those the navigators that are currently employed with the Office of Community Safety?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yep, so they'll have some representation there. Lead staff, like at Let Everyone Advance with Dignity. So they deal with kind of livability issues in that Lake Street area. The Lake Street Safety Coordinator, which is a new position. I think that person just got hired and will be starting soon.
Coordinator. Okay.
And then I mentioned GMCC that'll be handling opioid kind of substance use disorders. Minneapolis police will be in there just for office hours, maybe 3 hours a week, so not that much. And then other behind the scenes folks will be there, like behavioral crisis response that the public can't access, but they can use that as an office space between calls.
I think that'll be important for folks to get to know that Minneapolis does have a behavioral crisis response assistance. I don't know that everybody is aware. Is that still... Do we have a specific organization that does that work?
Yeah, the city actually contracts with Canopy Roots.
Okay.
And so Canopy Roots is has a bunch of mental health providers. And so if somebody calls 911 and 911 staff determine that it's a mental health crisis, they will most likely dispatch somebody from Canopy Roots or the behavioral crisis response team to respond to that in community instead of a police officer. Obviously, that will depend on if there's weapons involved and the safety of the situation. But it's nice that we have different options so we can have the right response at the right time now.
Yep. And then also knowing that they're there, like I myself have seen them responding to a situation before police got there. I think that is just an amazing addition to our safety response that we've had. So it's good to know that they'll be at that safety center. So can people get assistance in Spanish or any other language?
We're hoping at both of the centers to have bilingual staff so that people can come in and speak with somebody in their home language, whether it's Spanish or Somali, whatever. And if we don't have bilingual staff there at the time, the city always has access to free interpreter services.
Does immigration status matter when people go in seeking services?
I'm glad you asked that, because I know that that is a worry for some people. We would never ask about immigration status if somebody walked in and asked for services or assistance at either of the safety centers. And quite honestly, even if people are making a police report because they were a victim of crime, they wouldn't be asked about their immigration status then either.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Is there anything else that our audience should know about you yourself, the work that you're doing, about the safety centers?
I just think, again, I want to remind folks that this work with the safety centers is really connected to my broader work around creating that community safety ecosystem. So these are physical buildings where there will be collaboration of safety services, but there's other work that's happening behind the scenes. You can read all about the work that we're doing online. We're actually implementing the Safe and Thriving Communities report that came out a few years ago. And some of the behind the scenes work is meetings with Hennepin County and Metro Transit and Minneapolis Parks and Recreation, schools, community organizations. We had a gathering actually of a number of different safety service providers in August so that people could get to know each other, because I kept hearing, I need to make referrals, but I don't know who does X or Y. So we're trying to make those connections. We are also trying to just be more transparent around data. So we need to collect data so we can measure the efficacy to show that the services that we're contracting for, the services that we're providing as a city, are working. And then we need to share that with the community. So folks will see more dashboards showing up online so that you can see how services are working. And then we can use that information to make better decisions. So if there is a part of the city where we have no service, then we need to fill the gap. If we have a service that's working really well, we should expand that. But it all has to be based on data, the needs of the community, and then if organizations are working. So we're looking at a lot of gaps and assets, asset and gaps analysis. That's hard to say, at least right now.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of reports. We're having meetings. This type of work is actually how the Behavioral Crisis Response Unit got started. Community told us there was a need for a different response. And so we created a pilot, and now we're past that point where we're creating data and we're seeing how effective it is and seeing how we can expand it.
That's great. I thought it was really interesting one part that you brought up was talking about how you got different agencies together. Excuse me. I think one of the things that I run into in the community work that I do is the importance for people to understand that even though, like, this is the city of Minneapolis, there's different pieces and different places that are actually covered by other jurisdictions.
Yeah. And community doesn't care who does it. They just want to know that services are happening and that they're safe. And so I feel like that's our job on the back end to be collaborating so that community members can have seamless services.
Yeah, seamless. That's the important piece. Instead of, like, if you get the old, like, the runaround, you call somewhere, being able to help them and get them the services and resources they need right away, instead of saying, here's a number for you to call, or here's another number for you to call. That is completely frustrating, especially if somebody is in crisis or in need.
Absolutely. And so there's a lot of moving parts with the work that I'm doing. And if people are really into this and want to see more about what we're doing, how we're implementing the Safe and Thriving Communities report, what kind of progress we're making, they can also go online. And for that one, they can go to minneapolismn.gov/community-safety-ecosystem to learn more.
Oh, that's a different one. Yeah, that's thank you so much. I think there was another website. Maybe we want to share that one out again. And that was to find information about the safety centers.
Yes. So the safety centers is minneapolismn.gov/community-safety-centers. And they're all related. So if you go to one website, you can probably get a link to one of the other websites.
And there's still opportunity to go and learn more about the feedback. This fall, you'll be doing report backs to community.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. CBS News Brief. A Category 2 hurricane when it came ashore, Francine is whipping the Gulf Coast of Louisiana. CBS New York weathercaster Lonnie Quinn.
I think it's more likely a 5 to 10 inch range that includes New Orleans. So freshwater flooding and some storm surge, of course, are the biggest concerns with this storm.
In California, the San Bernardino Sheriff's Office arrests a 34-year-old Norco man for allegedly starting the line fire, which has burned almost 35,000 acres and is 14% contained. Detective Jacob Hernandez.
The suspect was booked at West Valley Detention Center for arson. As of this morning, a bail enhancement of a no bail was granted.
Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill speaks out about his traffic stop over the weekend.
I'm not going to mix it too. I'm not going to take a knee. I'm not going to, ask to defund the police. I'm not going to protest. I'm not going to do any of that when it comes to being inside of this.
Hill does say he still wants one of the officers involved dismissed from the force. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
I carry hope.
I carry hope.
I carry hope because I carry Naloxone, and you can too. Naloxone is an easy-to-use medication that can save.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Work is underway on a project to hook up every home in Superior to the internet. James Kelly has more.
The project seeks to connect about 850 homes in the area to a new fiber network, with plans to expand to every neighborhood in the city. This portion of the project will cost about $7 million of the $40 to $60 million it will take to connect the entire city over 5 to 8 years. The funding was provided by pandemic-era relief money. I'm James Kelly.
A former high school football coach in the Madison area is suing his former employer. Jason Pertzborn resigned last year while school officials investigated an allegation of bullying in the football program. Pertzborn now says he felt pressured to quit. He says school officials lied to him and intimidated him. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A judge in Michigan ordered Sean Diddy Combs to pony up $100 million to a man in Michigan for a sexual assault. The man claims Combs drugged him and molested him at a party. Lee Cardello Smith was a bartender who says the last thing he remembered was Combs handing him a drink before he passed out. Cardello is currently in prison for crimes similar to Combs, as well as kidnapping. That Sean Combs is incorrigible. Okay, ridiculous cuteness alert. Travis Kelce and his girlfriend, also known as Taylor Swift, performed together at the U.S. Open. It all happened while watching tennis from the stands. First, there was the requisite canoodling while matches were being played. Then during a break, the Dark's I Believe in a Thing Called Love came on. The couple seemed to sing the song while serenading each other and dancing. Hopefully, for the sake of those sitting close by, Kelce was just lip-syncing. Aren't they just the cutest? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 80s. Looking into Friday, a few more clouds, highs in the upper 70s. Then a chance of showers from Friday night through the weekend, highs upper 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we will dive into the Marquette University Law School polling, plus special guest host Earl Ingram Jr. Don't miss it.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good evening. I'm Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and I'm your guest host for Minneapolis Air. Joining me tonight on the second segment is Dorothy Jackson, a recruiter with the city's HR department. She's here to talk about the city's plans to help residents get on that journey by bringing job opportunities and tips into the community. So thank you for joining us today and welcome back to our show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me back. I feel so welcome. I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad to see your faces.
Happy to have you. Can you tell us what you do as a recruiter for the city? How about you actually start a little bit with, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I have been a recruiter with the City of Minneapolis for about a year and 4 months or something like that. So kind of new, but not that new. I know enough. As a recruiter, I'm just responsible for attracting talent into the city. I also have a huge focus on community engagement, reaching to some of those underrepresented communities. I advertise for the city, kind of a city ambassador to promote the jobs, but I'm also a resource to potential applicants or people that are already city employees or just people that are just looking for a job with the residents. I'm open to everybody. But my main job is to get that talent into the city. Now I can attract you, but also getting people in actually landing jobs and careers with us.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And how did you start working in local government?
Well, Christine, a long, 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 long time ago.
Not that long ago.
I was in the city youth program called Step Up. I didn't have the opportunity to go straight to college after high school. So I took the advantage of this pathway program, and I was able to develop my career in the government. I interned in the Human Resources Department at the Minneapolis Park Board for like 6 years. And there I learned a love for HR. I didn't even know I liked HR. So taking that opportunity and that internship and staying on actually turned into a career path. After that, I went over to Ramsey County for a certain amount of years, and I applied to this job on a whim. Ramsey County really made me mad. So I just submitted this application, and then I looked at it as a sign. It was a sign for me to come over here, and I came here within the last year and a half.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I think I mentioned before I was in city HR, and I never seen myself going into HR. It was just kind of by accident the same way. I applied for a different job at another organization, got into HR, and I loved it. And I was with the city's HR department for 13 years. So I hear you. You didn't realize that it was going to be as exciting as it really does end up being.
Yeah, I didn't even know I had a place for people that looked like me in the HR department, mm-hmm. especially in local government. So I'm really thankful for the opportunities for the people in the public sector that have given me the opportunity without mm-hmm. that college degree and using some of those equivalency in my on-the-job knowledge to apply to some of these positions.
Mm-hmm. Not really knowing what kind of jobs there are in local government, what kind of opportunities can a job seeker find in the city of Minneapolis?
So the city of Minneapolis has 28 different departments now. Some of the bigger ones include our public works departments, which you see people that are outside, you know, fixing the potholes, or if you see someone doing some work outside, it's usually someone that's in our public works department. We have regulatory services, public safety. There are also careers in human resources, civil rights, city attorneys, mm-hmm. clerk office, and IT. We frequently do hire for 911 call takers. That's probably one of our biggest recruitments that we do, along with our police recruitment, but we have different, lots of entry level and professional level positions. All of our opportunities are posted online. We do not accept any paper applications, and we frequently post jobs weekly. You can also follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn to kind of see what's happening, what we're looking for at the time, or you can also reach out to me.
Oh, to you directly. That would be fun. I think somebody should, we should get your information up there for them.
For sure.
Let's talk about the new initiative that you've created to get residents job ready for a career with the city. What is HR Bridges Level Up Your Career?
Yes. So this is an event that we piloted in the spring of this year. I I could easily just recruit from my computer, but I realized that we've got talent right here in our backyard. Our constituents of not just Minneapolis, but the Twin Cities, St. Paul as well, and the surrounding areas. So it's an event that takes place on Thursday, October 3rd from 11 to 2. We'll be doing kind of HR. We're going to be doing like a community outreach type of thing where we will provide resources to local talent. These resources include a resume and cover letter review, interview tips and tricks, application assistance, free professional headshots, a free lunch, and also opportunities to network with hiring managers. Some of our hiring managers that will be there that either have positions open at the time or that they have things that are up and coming. You'll also be able to connect with an HR professional. We made sure to create all of our handouts are like very universal. So even if you don't land with a job with the city, they're applicable to get a job elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Why does the HR department want to bring HR bridges and job tips and techniques out into the community?
As I stated before, and Christina, as you know, I've always had a passion for connecting with others in the community. Mm-hmm. When I was attending events in the city, I realized that there was the talent right here in our neighborhoods. I don't have to look far. So I can post mm-hmm. for a job, or I can go to a job fair that's national, but it's like, we have to be able to get the information out there. People don't know what they don't know. They don't know if they can work for the city. People mm-hmm. just associate with the city with, you know, our charter departments that we have to have, like police and fire, but there are so many other positions that people can have. So I don't want to sit behind a desk. I like to get out in the streets.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that look like me that can work for the city. So the more informed that people stay, you know, and the more information that we put out there, people can know like, hey, I can actually work a government job.
Yeah, I think that is that's the right way to do it. I think growing up, I never saw myself working for the city either. You know, I thought of it was a little bit intimidating. All I ever heard was, oh, you should go take that civil service test, that one. And having come from an HR background before coming to the city, it was a pleasant surprise to see just how many different jobs there are at the city. I think part of the intimidation is sometimes people think of civil service as just this boring day in, day out kind of thing that you do. And it's not at all. I think, you know, working in local government has been one of the best choices I feel like I've made. And I get to work with great people like you. So
and
I think
every position that we have, it impacts the community somehow, mm-hmm. the back end work. So that's why this event is to help like civil service. What does that mean? A lot of these things, a lot of these terms we think are plain language. And it's like, we have to get out there and let people know our process, which mm-hmm. can help them beforehand. I don't want to get you afterwards after you were denied. I want to catch you in the beginning and get you ready and prepared.
To yeah.
Yeah.
And
to apply yourself.
And the importance that representation matters. You know, in every job across mm-hmm. the city, not just in certain high level decision making, but everywhere across the enterprise.
Yes.
What can residents expect when they attend HR Bridges?
Well, residents can expect an open door to any information they need to present their best selves. This is an opportunity to ask any questions or get insight from HR professionals before you apply for a job, so you won't feel penalized. Sometimes you submit an application and you don't really want to reach out to anyone or don't know who to reach out to. So as I stated before, even if the career path is not with the city, we want to provide this opportunity to help our residents. It'd be good just to know. Just to get some tips, to get a free professional headshot you can use on your LinkedIn or Facebook or on your business page. I just think that these are services that we should provide in hopes that it can turn into something bigger or something ongoing that we're doing, you know, once a month or something.
Mm-hmm. So I did notice that you were on previously talking about an event that you had on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did that go? Does that play into why you're able to do one on the south side? And will there be more of these events?
Well, I can't forget about either side because they're both just important to make the city as a whole. So we started at the Career Force Center. We partnered with them, and that was north. But this time, the Career Force Center on the south side at 777 East Lake Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I felt like that would be a great location to kind of get that demographic in case they missed it last time, or it might be easily accessible if that's within their neighborhood. My plan is to hit all wards. So I'm north and south. South, but I'm Southwest, Northwest. I just piloted and thought of it, and I just want the more we help people, the more, you know, there'll be a need for us to expand.
So we had one in North, and now you're doing one in South. Does that mean, like, you have to be Southsider to go to this event on the South Side?
Absolutely not. You could be in Duluth. This event is open to all. You don't have to register. Nope. You don't have to come in a suit. You can just come as your wonderful self. That's it. You can live anywhere. If you didn't catch the last one and you live on the North Side, please feel free to attend this event.
So for those who are looking to become a Minneapolis employee, what are some of the benefits of working for the city?
So we've got a lot of benefits. First of all, we've got a pension. We've got, pay time off. We've got sick time. We've got vacation time. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, there's some tuition reimbursement options. All of our benefits are online. I'm not going to even pretend to be the expert, but I know we've got career development opportunities. We've got employee resource groups. Mm-hmm. Paid parental leave. But if you want to go on the City of Minneapolis website, put benefits into the search line, you'll be able to get a full description of what the benefits that we offer. Also, there will be a table at HR Bridges of at this event with a benefits specialist that can really go into depth about some of the benefits working with us.
That's awesome. How many city holidays? Is it 12 now?
Holidays?
Yeah. It's something like 12.
I think we get 12 vacation days. I think that's what it is.
No, I think it's like 12 like official city holidays.
Christine, because I remember HR background, you're the expert.
Well, it used to be 11. It used to be 11, and now I think we added
18. I think it may be 12. Yep.
Yeah. So the reason I asked is because I had worked out at a casino at one point, mm-hmm. and after I started working at the city, they called me up trying to get me to come back, and they were trying to like sugar it all up and be like, and we can even give you 10 vacation days to start with. And I was like, ha, ha, I get 11.
I get 11. Well, now I get 12.
Yes, and now we get 12. So yes, that's one of the great benefits that we have, as well as our vacation. So are there job opportunities for youth at the city?
Yes. So okay, we have summer internship programs, like I stated before, that I started with Step Up. But there are opportunities to work throughout the school year. When that internship was over, I advocated for myself in HR to stay with Step Up, and I was a Step Up kid for a while. Also, Urban Scholars, I can kind of get into that. That's our college internship program. It's a 12-week program. It's a really reputable, really nice program that we do in the summer that could potentially lead to employment afterwards as well. You just have to be enrolled in a four-year college Urban Scholar. I will have someone there at the event as well that can talk about opportunities. I know right now we have a public works internship that's open right now for the fall and the summer if someone is interested, but there are youth opportunities and Urban Scholars opportunities that can turn into full-time employment.
Okay, we'll be back.
We'll be right back. This is Minnesota Air on Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. Air stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
I've often said the RAV4 from Rudy Luther Toyota is the best vehicle I've ever driven, and I just had it proven to me once again. I drove around San Francisco and the Sierra Nevadas in a RAV4 hybrid, and it was sensational. The city driving was amazing, tackling tight corners and steep city streets while looking stylish. The real challenge came when we got up into the mountain roads, and the RAV4 carved them up like a hot knife through butter, and the hybrid fuel efficiency saved me over $200 on my vacation. Win, win, win. Test drive a Toyota RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. Here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Welcome back. I'm Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And we are rejoining our conversation with Dorothy Jackson, who is a recruiter with the City of Minneapolis Human Resources Department. Before we ended our last segment, we just got into a little bit about some of the opportunities for youth at the City of Minneapolis. You mentioned Step Up, you mentioned our Urban Scholar Program, and I think there was one that was newer to me that I hadn't heard about before, and I think that was the Public Works Program.
It was Public Works has internships that they do every year. There's one that's actually open on our website right now. So that's an internship opportunity that someone can apply to. But every summer we do have youth opportunities. I do know that our CPID department, our, and also Civil Rights, which is now coming to HR, Urban Scholars, we will be kind of like hosting Urban Scholars with HR, with Civil Rights this year, this coming summer. But a lot of opportunities have turned into like actual employment, and we can't guarantee employment, but it still gives you that on the job knowledge and also helps you network and could help, you know, pave like a career pathway for you.
Yeah. You know, so Nick Noh, who is the deputy director of my department, Neighborhood and Community Relations, was actually an Urban Scholar who stayed on and worked his way up into deputy director of our department. So there are some really great stories that come out of the work that we've been doing with these programs. For the Step Up program, do you know what the ages are for that?
If I'm not mistaken, I think that age group is from 14 to 21. I will confirm, but I do know that it is for mostly high school kids.
Yeah.
That's when I started, but I kind of stayed on a little while after when I was a young adult. And then Urban Scholars is for college students. There will be someone at the event to discuss our pathway programs, Urban Scholars, and our Step Up, also our Step Up team. Somebody will be there to kind of talk about those opportunities. They are in the summer usually, but it's always good to kind of like plant that seed and to get connected with someone to get some more information.
Especially now, do you know what time of the year the applications open for Step Up?
So I'm not sure, but I know they start a little bit early because they've got
like February or something.
They've got hundreds of applicants.
Yes.
I do know that Urban Scholars is going to open sometime February, March, but I think Step Up is around the same time, a little bit earlier, probably February.
Those are some great opportunities to get introduced into the City of Minneapolis local government. I know they have Step Up, especially has opportunities elsewhere across the metro area, but specifically for the City of Minneapolis, that's what we would like to encourage you to come and experience. So a couple more questions that I've got for you. So one of the things, so what can we talk about? What if you have applied for a job at the city before, but you never heard back?
That sounds like a common theme. So I love to get the information out there. Some people get discouraged or just like, hey, I never heard back. Beforehand, we didn't have a talent acquisition team, but that's a new team that was implemented into our human resources department, and we have taken over the hiring. So better communication, easier, you know, shorter time to fill. I encourage people to still apply and still come to the event. You can maybe get clarity there. We can always, you know, connect with you, talk with you, look at your last application or your resume. There have been government jobs that I have that I've applied to at other government entities. I just didn't hear back. We are diligently working on trying to be more responsive, but I don't want people to get discouraged and think because you didn't hear back that you aren't qualified for a job, or we wouldn't want to have you at the city. Because sometimes the second or third time's the charm. You know that, Christine.
So one of the quick little crazy stories. So when I was still in HR, I remember, you know, every day you go get your mail. And I had a returned mail envelope from somebody. I was responding to them about where they placed on a list or something like that. But it was a return address from like 4 years before. So it was, so it, like the mail actually literally lost that.
We're trying to get better with our response time. HR reps have been in, we got steps added now. We've got some programs implemented, and we're trying better to be more responsive.
And we're more technologically savvy in everything, like apply online, communicate through email. So if it gets lost in email, I don't know what to tell you.
But those representatives will be there at the event to be able to answer questions directly about our hiring process.
So let's say the event happens and I'm planning on going and something comes up. What happens if I can't make it to your event? What can I do?
So if you can't make it to the event, I always recommend signing up for government jobs. If you go on our jobs page, if there's a left-hand corner, you can do a little drop down and it's going to say job alerts. You can sign up for job alerts, stay in the know until when we post a job within a realm or an area you may be interested in. Also, you can follow us. If you look up City of Minneapolis Jobs on Facebook and LinkedIn, you can kind of stay up and current and stay connected to us on social media.
Oh, that's so cool. So if somebody wanted to be a cop or wanted to be a firefighter, they could go and sign in for that alert?
100%. So whatever area you think you may be interested in working in, you just select it. You'll get an email whenever we post a job within that department. Social media, I may do it again. If you stay current on our social media page, or if you follow our social media page, you can see the flyer for an opportunity to make it at another time.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
But I want to see everybody there if you can.
Yeah. Free lunch. What are you having for lunch?
Free lunch. Well, it's going to be a surprise. Just come. Free headshots, free lunch. You can't go wrong.
Free headshots.
Free headshots. They're nice. Our communications department does nice professional pictures. A lot of people were thankful for that. They were able to use them either on their resume or to update their LinkedIn profile. So we don't have
on
to
their resume. Are people using them on their resume again?
I have it on mine.
Because back in my day, that was like a faux pas. Like, you were not supposed to put your picture on your resume.
It depends on the job. That's why you got to come so we can give you some real advice.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's so many things that have changed. Like, I know people are looking at people up on Facebook and stuff. I'm like, I don't know how fair that is. But
or LinkedIn professionally. So I want to look you up on LinkedIn. So just having all that zipped up and getting some advice from others online, because it's difficult. The trends change. The workforce.
Yes, they do.
Time just rolls on and things are becoming new. AI is taking over. So it's just making sure that we stay current.
Yeah. When you first joined and you talked about a long, 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 long time ago, long time ago when I was in HR, like it was all snail mail and it was paper applications. Yeah. And we actually sat people like in a room and would give them written tests. It was wild.
That was the thing. That was the thing.
That
never
was
no
the
more.
Civil service tests.
Well, some departments, some positions still require some types of tests and exams, but
yeah, absolutely.
It just depends on the job.
Absolutely. So can you tell us where we can get more information on upcoming opportunities and resources?
So, like I stated, always log on to cityofminneapolisjobs.com. That's where all of our jobs will be posting, all of our opportunities, even our internships are on there. So logging on to there, signing up for job alerts, and following City of Minneapolis Jobs on LinkedIn and Facebook. Always post whatever events we're going to go to, whatever events that we're hosting, and I always post those positions where I really want to reach people, or those hard to fill, or something that we're hiring urgently for. So stay connected with social media. Even if you don't want to talk to somebody all the time, that's kind of that passive I follow, and I can kind of like check what's going on from the background. Because some people are like, I don't want to keep up with you, Dorothy, and have to email you all the time. It's like, all right, just follow me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a really good professional tool, or Facebook.
Oh, okay. That is fantastic. Thank you so much. I really enjoy having you on the show. And I hope to see you at that event or another future event in the community.
It's always a pleasure. Remember, everyone, it'll be Thursday, October 3rd at 77 West East Lake Street. We will be there from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, joins us to talk all things sports balls. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you...
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.